everyone. Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Lisa Hollinger. I was looking on the website of mormonnewsroom.org, and that's the public affairs website for the church, and they have different country websites. And so I was looking around, kind of looking at what was happening worldwide around the church, and I came across an article that's on the Philippines country site, and it was talking about this agreement that the church made with the Navy of the Philippines. And so it's Vice Admiral Luis M. Alano, who's the flag officer in command of the Philippine Navy, and Benson Miss Alucha, who is the area welfare manager for the church. They signed a memorandum of agreement on April 2nd for the construction of three multipurpose buildings that were destroyed by Typhoon Pablo in 2012. And this is in the area of Mindanao. According to Alano, the construction of these multipurpose centers would help restore hope to the people, seeing a visible structure where local government could conduct routine transactions would give survivors the assurance that everything would soon be all right. The multipurpose building would also serve as a temporary shelter while permanent housing is being constructed, which could take time to accomplish. As soon as people would be properly settled into their new homes, the building would then be converted into a transportation hub, which is also a need in these communities, the article says. The survivors are participating in the construction process, and the church is contributing construction materials and supplies, as well as providing Mormon Helping Hands volunteers from outlying communities to help on Saturdays. The Marines and the sailors from the 7th Battalion Naval Construction Brigade prepared the plans and design and are tasked to provide transportation and security of materials to the sites, as well as supervision and manpower for the construction of these community shelters. I love these kind of stories. I don't know if we hear enough of these sometimes because the church is often reaching out to different communities and nations and doing good deeds, but often it's not really publicized and they don't really talk about it unless you're kind of searching it out or you hear about it. But I love that they are doing good around the world to people from various countries, whether they're members of the church or not. It just makes me happy, honestly, and it makes me happy for the people that they're serving. I found a sweet story that I wanted to share with you, and it's told by Elder Joseph B. Worthlin, who is one of the members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and it's from General Conference, October 2007, taken from his talk entitled The Great Commandment. But the story is about the prophet Joseph Smith, who, as we know, is the first prophet of the church. And I'm going to play that for you in Elder Worthlin's own words now.
The story is told of a 14-year-old boy who had come to Nauvoo to search of his brother who lived near there. The young boy had arrived in the winter with no money and no friends. When he inquired about his brother, the boy was taken to a large house that looked like a hotel. There he met a man who said, "Come in, son, we'll take care of you." The boy accepted and was brought into the house, where he was fed, warmed, and was given a bed to sleep in. The next day it was bitter cold, but in spite of that, the boy prepared himself to walk 8 miles to where his brother was staying. When the man of the house saw this, he told the young boy to stay for a while. He said there would be a team coming soon and that he could ride back with them. When the boy protested, saying he had no money, the man told him not to worry about that, that they would take care of him. Later, the boy learned that the man of the house was none other than Joseph Smith, the Mormon prophet. This boy remembered this act of charity for the rest of his life.
I thought that was such a sweet and touching story about the prophet Joseph, and I'm not surprised at all that he would do something like that, but I put myself in the position of that young boy and imagine what that would be like to have a complete stranger treat you with such kindness, and I was really touched and thought I would share it today. There's another story that I found that I wanted to read to you. I found it in the April 2013 Ensign, and it's called Loved Back Into Activity, and this is what it says. When my son Jack was 14, he pierced his ears, quit going to seminary, and refused to go to church. My husband and I tried everything we could think of to change this attitude. Nothing seemed to work. Jack was angry at the world and at us. We came to recognize that all we could do for him was display charity, the pure love we had for him. but we were amazed to see many other people abundantly extend love in ways that significantly helped my son. Jack's brothers and sisters were the first to show charity. His older brothers repeatedly invited him to social activities with their friends, even when having a little brother tag along might not have been popular. His older sister lived across the country, and she called him regularly just to chat. Jack's grandpa, Oscar, also made a huge difference. When Jack started choosing a different path, Grandpa Oscar began calling him once a week, and they talked about everything from horses to school to motorcycles. Next door to us lived the Carlton family. They had a son who liked many of the same activities as Jack: rock climbing, hiking, camping, and ballroom dancing. Although Jack didn't attend church, the Carltons didn't exclude him. Rather, they welcomed him into their home, shared meals, and were interested in his activities. Their continued love and support were critical to Jack. When Jack was 15, he decided to do a project for his Eagle Scout Award. Jack's scout leader, Brother White, opened his wood shop and spent hours with Jack and my husband building a large box in which to store food for horses. This helped Jack to earn his Eagle Scout Award. We have also been blessed with wonderful bishops. Bishop Noble not only visited with Jack in an official capacity, but also invited him to go on mule rides and hired him for odd jobs. When a new bishop was called, he recognized Jack's needs and received inspiration on how best to meet those needs. The members of our ward also showed great charity. Every time Jack attended church, our neighbors and friends greeted him warmly. They didn't criticize his long hair or his choices. Instead, they shook his hand. In the neighborhood, they were equally kind. One neighbor called Jack when she had odd jobs. She told me often what a great worker he was and offered to write letters of recommendation for him. Each of these acts of charity helped strengthen Jack's self-esteem. Each person who crossed Jack's path with love played a part in helping him remember who he is, a wonderful son of our Heavenly Father. Collectively, these acts of charity blessed Jack's life in incredible ways. At the age of 22, Jack decided to begin attending his local student ward. With the help of yet another encouraging bishop, he subsequently received his patriarchal blessing and was ordained to the office of a priest in the Aaronic priesthood. I will be forever grateful to the people in our ward, our neighborhood, and our extended family who treated Jack with love. I know that charity, the pure love of Christ, can touch souls when nothing else can. I was really touched when I read this article, and I thought about the power of love and what it can do and the difference that it can make in someone's life. And I think we probably each know someone like Jack who might be struggling for whatever reason, or we might be the person struggling. And isn't it nice when someone reaches out to you in kindness and doesn't judge you but just loves you? It means so much, and it can be life-altering, just as it was in the case of Jack. I know from my own experience that that's what happened to me. I wasn't a member of the church, and someone reached out to me in kindness and asked me if I wanted to come along to church with them. And the ramifications in my own personal life were enormous. It's what led me to becoming a member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, because someone was kind to me. And I thought when I read that story, it was a good reminder for all of us to look outside ourselves, look outside our circles at church or in our neighborhood, and extend a hand of friendship and kindness and love to those around us, because you never know who you might touch or whose life you might change. And with that, it's time for us to close, but I want to thank you for joining us today. If you have any suggestions or comments, or if you want to share your story with me, I would love to hear it. And you know I often read those on the air. But send me an email directly, mormonchanneldaily@ldschurch.org, or you can post on our Facebook wall as well. This has been another episode of Mormon Channel Daily, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the song of the day that I'd like to leave you with today is called Mercy's Arms, featuring Marla Bolle. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and have a great day.
The mighty fortress walls I have built around my foolish heart, how they crumble as I surrender all to mercy. mercies arms. Bathed in holy rain, cleansed from sinners' bitter stains, only love remains. I'm forever changed by mercy's arms. Sweet the surrender, sweet the embrace, sweet the forgiveness to one forever undeserving of His grace, safely encircled, rested and warmed. Sweet is the taste of love that awaits in mercy. Is the key unlocking every chain? Sin is lost and freedom gained. The price was paid by mercy's arms. Sweet the surrender. How I hope that He